Welcome to You Still, a podcast hosted by me, Ella Delancey Jones. We talk about motherhood, the absolute elation and the surprises, as well as attempting to bridge the gap between who we were before we had our children and who we are now. Don't forget to follow at You Still Podcast on Instagram and Twitter so you don't miss a thing. It's lovely to have you here. Everyone, I hope you're all doing well. Well, isn't this a surprise? My goodness me, I've got half an hour spare, and it's kind of one of those bits of time where I don't quite have enough time to start anything new, but I don't want to waste the time by just scrolling on TikTok. So I thought, just get on with making a podcast. So for those of you who have been around for a while, the last season I put out was at like the start of the year. So I guess a quick explanation really. So I had planned to wait a little bit longer to put out season two, but at the start of the year I had a sponsor which really kicked my ass into gear, which was, it was a good thing really because it got it off the ground quicker, I was able to push it out quicker, I invested in a little bit more on the technical side, so it meant that the audio was a bit better and so was the editing. Unfortunately that sponsor didn't come through. I did learn quite a lot of lessons to be honest from that experience, but you know, hey ho, we got a season out. And then I didn't put anything out for a good few months, so here we are. I think what was the issue is it just pure overthinking. Just overthinking it. It's not that I couldn't find any guests. I've had lots of people approach me and say, when's the podcast coming back? Who are you going to have on? Can I be a guest? Etc. And I've been really kind of in the back of my head all the time, I need to get the podcast started. I need to get the podcast started. But I'm thinking back and I'm just really wondering, how did I have the time? How did I have the time to do this? Because if you think back, I started that podcast when Polly was like 8, 9 months old, I think, maybe a little bit older. And she was napping, she was in her 30 minute nap phase. So she was napping 30 minutes, I think about 3 times a day. So I'd have about an hour and a half to get all of my work done. I didn't have any childcare. I created the podcast and I just don't know how I managed it. We now have 2 days of childcare. We'll come on to that in a bit. This is kind of like a brain dump of an episode. This isn't a point. I just need to sit down and talk, I think. So buckle in and enjoy it. But yeah, I'm wondering how I found the time to edit. I literally have no idea. I don't know if like it was a parallel universe and there was like 3 of me working on everything at the same time. I literally have no idea. But it was born into existence and now I'm bringing it back. I need to get on with it. I need to get this podcast back off the ground. I want to, but I think the fact that it's a passion project means that it's really fallen to the wayside. I am still looking for a sponsor, just any way that I can monetize it, not in a sense of like monetize it so I get money for myself. I just mean maybe that I can have a sponsor to help me pay for someone else, for example, to help me edit just so I can optimize my time a bit better. So that's on the to-do list, and of course putting together the structure for the third series, which is insane, the third series. So let's have a little update then. So I think the last time we spoke was Polly had just come out of her awful sleep. So we were really lucky. So we had obviously the newborn phase where literally nobody sleeps. I was having like, I don't think I had more than an hour or two of sleep in a row for about, God, a good 3 months. I remember the first time she slept through for 4 hours and I think I died and went to heaven. It was amazing. Then her sleep improved, and then around the 8, 9 month mark, everything just went out of the window. I just got used to sleeping again, and then we were having so many false starts, so we'd put her down to bed, and then she would wake up about 10 times before like 10 o'clock, and then after that she'd wake up every hour, every 2 hours. So I really felt like I was a zombie because, you know, it's not like the newborn phase where I could sit on the sofa and there was no expectations of me. I could slob about, I didn't have to work, I didn't have to see anyone if I didn't want to. Whereas then I had like regained my independence. To an extent, I was working, and obviously, albeit without any childcare, but I was working, and I was kind of like trying to be a functioning human being on no sleep. It was really, really hard. So that was kind of where we left the end of the second season, and she finally started sleeping again. We really didn't do anything. I don't want to, you know, every child is different. We didn't have like a special technique or anything we did. I think it was just something that she grew out of. The only thing I will say is that from as early as I could, I've really implemented a routine, and I know it doesn't work for everyone, but it's something that we thrive on. So it was just kind of having that boundary of like, right, 7 o'clock, this is how we wind down to go to bed, and this is your bedtime, and we stay up in our bedroom at night time, and yeah, and just throughout the day as well. So I always wake her up. So I'm not a morning person, right? I've never been a morning person, but for months, for over a year, I've woken up every morning at 7 and woken her up between 7 and 7:30. I know it's a massive luxury to even say that I'm waking her up. I don't actually think that she would sleep much later than that. It's just that's my boundary, because then I know that the rest of the day will then fit, will then work quite well. So that just is the way that we can fit everything in, and then it will be her bedtime. So that's the only thing that really worked for me, and it's just something that we thrive on. Obviously, it can be a bit limiting at times, because it means that we've got to somehow fit a nap in the middle of the day, and sometimes she doesn't want to sleep outside of the house, which is also fine. She's nearly two. Oh my God, nearly two. And she's getting to the age where she can just about cope with no nap. It's a fucking nightmare when she doesn't nap, of course, but she can just about cope. The days that she doesn't nap, bedtime can't come soon enough. Anyway, I'm waffling now, but anyway, just for any new listeners, if you're right in the trenches of the no sleep thing, I promise you that it does get better. Sometimes it gets worse, but most of the time it gets better again, and then it gets worse, but then it gets better. Hopefully you can all get to a point where it gets better. I am living proof of that, and so is Polly. Most of the time she'll go down and sleep from like 8 until 7:30. Every child's different. Don't compare. What's normal for you is your norm. Don't compare yourself. We hate comparison, okay? So yeah, going back to her age, what the hell, man? Next month I'm gonna have a 2-year-old. I don't have a baby anymore, which I find really like a massive head fuck, to be honest. I do feel like I just had her. I really feel like still a new mum. I see kind of like new mothers with their carry cot prams, and I still feel like a really kindred feeling towards them, like we're all in this together, but they are really so far apart from where I am. Polly is now talking, she's running, she's really making her own decisions, and that's kind of what this is exactly the way that we've so wanted her to be. It's just crazy to me that the little girl, the little tiny baby that was born £4.10 and really, really poorly in an incubator, is now literally, I'm standing at the bottom of the stairs being like, come on, come downstairs, time to put your shoes on. She's like, nah, mum. It's just crazy. And I mean, what is there to say about Polly? I'm so lucky. Me and Will, we both are. We're so lucky to have her. She's just the light of our lives. And I don't think I'm the first person to ever admit this, but it took me a while to like become super obsessed with her. Obviously, I didn't know my own name in those very early days. I just had this tiny child I was trying to protect, and it was just about the survival. And now she is a fully functioning human being, and there's just so much joy in her. Everything that you do, she still finds amazing, and everything that she's doing is just amazing to her. She's such a joy to be around, and obviously, yeah, it's hard work. She's a toddler, but it's just, I can feel really frustrated inside, especially if as I say, like, I'm trying to get to put her shoes on, or eat a dinner, or just, you know, anything that's like the daily battle of wills with toddlers. But she'll just do something, and all that frustration just melts away, and she's just like, wow, I'm literally obsessed with her. It's amazing. What is she doing at the moment? She is, as I said, running. She's talking. She's like a little parrot. You say something to her, and she'll just repeat it back. She did say shit the other day, and I nearly dropped a glass and I went, fuck me! And she went, fuck! So I've got to be careful. And that's really hard after 30 years of basically being a potty mouth. So yeah, that's really fun bit of parenthood that I'm really trying to get out of. Hey, here's a question for you, okay? Not much of motherhood really bamboozles me. Sometimes it's really easy to figure out. Sometimes you rely on your instincts. Sometimes you get a bit of advice from someone else who's been there, done that. So I'm asking your advice. How the fucking hell do you take off pull-up nappies when they've pooed in there, right? So we were given some. I don't buy them because they're really expensive, but we were given some from a family friend whose kid has already outgrown the size. So we were like, brilliant. But then she did a shit and I thought, okay, well, how am I going to get this off then? Because obviously with the open nappy, with the tab nappies, you can just open it up, wipe away, and then, you know, roll up, you're done. With the pull-ups, I somehow have to get this shitty nappy down her legs without smearing it everywhere. Obviously, I massively failed at that the first time. The second time, I don't know why I didn't just remember. The second time, I cut it off her. And then obviously that defeats the purpose because there's no tabs, I can't roll it up. I was like, what the hell? The only thing I can assume is that these pull-up pants are for children who are kind of going into potty training and you're expected to pull them down, go to the toilet, and then they're just for accidents. But I feel like that can't be true because so many people buy them because they find the tab nappies too fiddly. So what is, how do you do it? Tell me please, because I don't know and I'm not going to use them anymore until I find out. I'm literally going off on a tangent here, but this is something that I wanted to talk about on the podcast, to be honest. I wanted to have something that's a little bit more chatty. The podcasts that performed the best were the ones where it was really collaborative, it was really chatty, and it was like just being in a group chat with your friends. I love that. I love that experience. And it feels less to me like an interview. Sometimes that's the nature of the episode, especially when we're talking about really serious things. I think I left it at the end of the last episode that I wanted to get perspective from different mums. I really want to get a whole wide range of lived experiences, not just white cis females who are married that only have one child as well. So that's on the to-do list. If you can think of anyone that would be great, please let me know. My network is only my network, you know. I need to go outside that network and I need you to help me do that. So if you've got any valuable voices that you think would be great on the pod, please let me know. I also want to get a bit more candid with things because I find also, like, I'm a massive oversharer anyway, but I do hold myself back to an extent because I'm like, I don't want to embarrass people in my life when I'm talking about them. I don't really want to give too much away of Polly because she can't consent to it, you know? I'm very well aware that I've just talked about her shitty nappies. So let's just skip over that. I want to be candid and I always want to make people know that they're not alone. So something that I really, really want to touch on this episode, and whether that's doing another episode with Will or talking with an expert or just doing an episode like this or with another mum, is relationships. So me and Will have been together for 7 years and our relationship has always been really great. We vibe off each other. We don't generally argue. We bicker because that's completely normal. But obviously since having Polly, it's like it has put a strain on our relationship, and we've had to learn to be together while being parents, and we're trying to be Will and Ella while also being parents, being united. Also, the biggest thing for us, or for me, is the fact that his life didn't really change when we had Polly and mine massively did. And that's not to patronise him and say his life didn't change, but you know, if we're talking about mum guilt or parent guilt, which he doesn't have, or we're talking about the emotional labour, if we're talking about the paradox of motherhood, it's not really something that he experiences. We touched on mum guilt in an episode in the first season with Dr. Sophie Brock, who is amazing, by the way. Go and follow her immediately. So that's another thing. I don't think there's any reason why we can't go over things we've already spoken about. My friend Emma sent me an Instagram post by Helena Vissing, where she has a whole stack of books on motherhood. And Helena was saying, talking about why the stream of books on motherhood is not drying up anytime soon. And Emma said to me, it reminds her of a conversation that we had in our group chat about people who say, in response to our generation writing about motherhood, you'd think that they were the first person to have children and experience motherhood. But the thing is, it's so important to keep talking about it. We can't just have one book about mum guilt, and we can't just have one book on how to discipline our children. We can't have one article on the strain your relationship goes through when you have a child and be done with it, because it's always happening. We always need fresh perspectives. We always need more voices, especially ones that aren't very well represented. We always need to keep talking about it. So I'm gonna rehash some stuff, because I'm well into it now. I'm nearly 2 years in, and I think I know a little bit more, not everything, a little bit more than I did a year ago. So I think there's definitely an opportunity to bring back guests as well. I'm super excited. This is just gonna be a short episode. I've got a call in like 10 minutes and I'm a little bit hungover. I actually work really well when I'm slightly tired and slightly hungover, which is a very dangerous combination, as you can imagine. However, I always do my best work, especially if I've got a deadline. So I really hope that you're happy to hear my voice. I really hope also for my sake that I'm not gonna like just post and run. I really want to get this out ASAP Rocky and then come back with some fresh perspectives, new episodes, and just not be a dick about it. Do you know what I mean? Because I was really surprised about the feedback I got on the pod, you know, and I need to also work on the social media side. Literally, I'm a social media manager and I can't even sort out my own marketing. And it's always the first rule for my clients is, if you can't sort out your own marketing, you are literally gonna crash and burn. Yeah, I need to practice what I preach. Bear with me. Bear with. I hope you guys are having an amazing end to our very late summer. I hope that you are embracing all of the challenges and joys of motherhood. I'm loving seeing everyone on Instagram. I love our little knowing chats over the DMs about all the crazy stuff that happens and we have to deal with. I'm loving how much closer I am to some of you that I literally didn't even know if it wasn't for this podcast. Just thank you. And yeah, so please, please don't be a stranger. I will see you very soon. Thank you for joining me for this episode of You Still. You can join the community and keep up to date with all new episodes by following @YouStillPodcast on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to get in touch to tell me how I'm doing, suggest new guests, or let me know which topics you'd like me to cover, email youstillpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you.